I greet you with a good morning, young men, this morning, as well as everyone. Praise the Lord. Certainly the lines have fallen unto us in pleasant places. We have a goodly heritage with the people of God. Thank God for His goodness to us. I think maybe some of you have an assignment this morning along those lines. We'll work on here after a bit. That song ended up with, "We'll join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord of all." You know what a coronation is? Is that the title of that tune there, Coronation? I know one of our tunes we sing is Coronation. You know what that is? A crown. Spanish, the word for crown is Corona, or Corona. And so a coronation is a crowning. Often includes a big ceremony. Something. Praise God for the hope of being present to crown Him Lord of all. Blessing. Well, let's open our Bibles to Psalm 55. I believe that's what we have this morning. Is that correct, Colby? Yeah. David says here on the top, by David, for a pillar inscription, when foreigners conquered him in Gath. I'm thinking that's when he was found out there in Gath with the Philistines, looked at him. They knew who he was. They knew, and they didn't want to just take care of him right away. And even though he scrabbled on the doors and he let his spittle run down his beard and all that, he just didn't have a safe place to run. That song we sang last Sunday, and we were going to sing it this morning. Oh, safe to the rock that is higher than I. William Cushing wrote, "My soul in its conflicts and sorrows would hide." Sure, that was the desire of God's servant David when he was fleeing from his enemies. To hide. Find a safe place with God. But God was teaching him. God left him have fear. Live in fear. Live, have to run for a while. And taught him many, many things. As he fled from his enemies. So, "Have mercy on me, O God, O Lord," he starts out. "For man tramples me down." Why don't each of you, would you each like to read a verse there? Roger, start off.
"Have mercy on me, O Lord, for man tramples me down. All day long he afflicts me in war. All day my enemies trample me down, for many are those who war against me from on high."
Clayton, you're supposed to be following after there. Give it to him.
"For many, I will not fear by day, but I will hope in you."
Hope.
"Hope in you."
Mm-hmm. That's good. You're done. Go ahead.
"In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what comes to me."
Amen.
"All day they twist my words, and their thoughts are against me for evil. They will dwell near and hide. Thee will watch me."
Heal
as they
wait?
Wait for my song.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to read the next one? Okay. I'll go on. In no way will you save them. In wrath you will bring down people, so God, I declare my life to you. You set my tears before you, as also in your promise. My enemies shall be turned back. In whatever day I may call upon you, behold, I know you are my God. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I hope. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? In me, O God, are vows. I will render in praise to you, for you delivered my soul from death and my feet from slipping, that I may be well-pleasing before God in the light of the living. Amen. Hoping in God. We talked about the hope. The hope of seeing the Lord and of crowning him Lord of all, over all his enemies, and putting all things under his feet. They will watch my heel. That's on the back of you. Just watching your heel. Waiting for your soul. There are enemies who would like to take our soul and our heel. Make us powerless. Make us a servant of the enemies of God forever and ever. There are enemies that seek for our souls. You know, if we're... It's an enemy. When the things that you know that are easy for you to fall into, easy for you to just not conquer and be strong about. That's things like whether it's fulfilling an assignment by your parents faithfully and good, or whether it's just wanting to be dishonest or something, not tell the truth completely, because we want to save our hide or something. We're tempted to sell our soul, or to have our soul taken by the enemy. But God has given us strength to stand up to those things, be strong. Not be lazy, but be strong. David says, in no way will you save them. In wrath you will bring down peoples. Peoples, he says. Those who are against God. Those who are not a part of God's kingdom. Those who are against him. In God, verse 11, in God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. That's for the strength that God gives. That's for the help he gives. I think Brother David last Sunday talked about how what a blessing it is that we have the Lord to go through our trials with us. This world actually has it a lot harder, not having a sure refuge, and not having a help. I like that song again that says, "Oh, safe to the rock that is higher than I." William Cushing says, "How often in the conflict, when pressed by the foe, I have gone to my refuge and breathed out my woe. How often when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee O thou rock of my soul. And you're just thinking back over his life. Thank the Lord for that. For you delivered my soul from death and my feet from slipping, that I may be well pleasing before God in the light of the living. That delivering our soul from death, it's not that we were think of that that verse that says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, the Apostle Paul said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and honor, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. God is able to keep us from falling. And that shows that there were times when we were down. He's able to keep us from falling. And to present us faultless. That also gives the idea that we have faults. But he's able to keep us and to present us faultless before the presence of the Lord with exceeding joy. Okay. Well, so that we might be well pleasing to God. May that be our desire, your desire, boys. Well pleasing to God. Now I want you to stand up. You can all just stand up and right where you are, just say it as we go down the line. You stand up. Your verse, which I believe is about when God, your verse or your particular example from the Scriptures, where God showed kindness and love to His people. Is that right? Is that correct? Okay. Roger, begin.
Okay. Exodus 15:24-25. Therefore the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statue and an ordinance for them. They approved him.
Okay. So he made the. What did he? What did they do?
They complained, and then God told Moses to cut down a certain tree and throw it into the water.
Louder,
yeah. So that the waters were made sweet.
Uh huh. And did they deserve that after complaining?
No.
Well, they had already been delivered from Egypt. Had already been delivered from their enemies in the Red Sea. But they just complained quickly, as soon as they were thirsty. Think about that when you're hungry and thirsty, not to complain.
When Moses went up to talk with God for 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain, on Mount Sinai, the children of Israel started to worship a golden calf, and then Moses came down and told God, and God could have just smote them and utterly destroyed them, but instead he didn't do that. He let them keep on waiting.
Yes. Yes. But just a second, Clay. I mean, he actually smote a very few of them comparing to the great multitude who had disobeyed him. And remember that at first God was going to destroy them, right? Didn't he say, get away, Moses, so I can destroy them? And Moses
besought God, and God mercifully answered Moses, fulfilled his request, said, "All right, I'll just discipline them, punish some of them."
Genesis 20. God was kind to Abraham and even
and he blessed him, kind to him, and blessed him.
Even if he was scared and didn't trust.
And didn't trust, that's right. Go ahead, Jaden. Micah.
Matthew 5:44-45. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust.
Mm-hmm, very good. That just explains it, doesn't it? The goodness of God. What does the Lord tell us about that? Now you see God that way, then what? If God's that way, okay. What do we need to do?
Thank Him.
Yeah, thank Him. And also, if we're to be good to the bad people and good people. We're supposed to be like God in that, not just good to those who are good to us.
In Luke 6:35, God says that He is kind to the unthankful and evil.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on that? All right, Arthur.
In John 5, there's a story. There was a pool, and the angel stirred it. The people that were sick, they could come in and get better. And then there was this one person who just couldn't get in. And he had been sick for a real long time. And God came and just healed him.
That's a blessing. Our Lord Jesus. Yeah, amen. That's a blessing. Go ahead, Sylvester. Following who?
Jesus. Jesus said, "How are we gonna buy bread for all these people?" And then
goodness of God, goodness of our Lord. Well, okay, thank you, fellas. You can keep standing, we're going to dismiss you soon, but what I want you to do for next Sunday is to memorize this week real well the doxology. You know what the hymn called the doxology is. Well, it is the song, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." And you know that, don't you? You know that. "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below." Anyway, you just practice that and come prepared to sing that to us next Sunday morning. I would like you each, though, to talk about something in that song. Something good, something interesting, some little lesson or important thing in that song. It can be big or little. Talk about it. I want you to know that hymn real well, because, well, according to Abraham Lincoln, he said this already. He said, "I know only two hymns, only two." He said, "One is Old Hundred, which is that little song. One is, and one is." He couldn't even remember the second one. But that is a main simple hymn that God's people have sung for years. And I want you to know that one very well. We call it the doxology, or "Praise God to whom all blessings flow." Often sang at the end of the sermon. Often sung at the end of the sermon. Okay. You can go back. We're going to have the older boys come up here and tell us their assignment, which was something about how we are to treat the people of God. Is that correct? Now, our responsibility. Come on up here.
Chapter 1, 4, verses 1 through 3. "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace."
Romans 12:10. Be devoted one to another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor.
John 15:12-14. "This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you."
How are we supposed to treat the people of God? Just love them and show them respect.
I had the story about Van Baptist that was in prison, and somebody came and sawed away the bars, and everybody was climbing up the rope to get out, and one woman had a baby and wouldn't leave the baby, and one of the old men said he was going to stay because he wasn't going to leave her by herself, afraid, because he was afraid she might weaken by herself, and if she recanted, it'd be on his conscience. So he loved her enough to stay and just died there as well. An example I thought of was of how to love people was Jesus just coming and dying for suffering for us, you know, which was didn't deserve it. And the other day I was just kind of thinking about Stephen when he was stoned. He was, you know, he said, "Father, you know, don't hold this against him." And I've never really thought about that. You know, just kind of always just thought, you know, he was forgiving him. But I think it's what he was trying to say was, "God, you know, don't hold this against him. Don't, you know, when you're judging him, don't judge them by this." And I just thought, you know, that'd be pretty hard to do, just to sit there, you know, to think that.
I've been thinking this week a lot about pride, and just how easy it is to think that you're the only one who sees certain things, you're the only one who think that you really have a good idea or something, you know. And I was thinking about how everybody sees the truth, and that it's nothing to be proud of, and it comes down to something really simple, but yet it's really hard. It's hard for man to accept it.
I had the story of Stephen in Acts 7. It is, I don't think that when he died that he was saying that pretty sure that he was glad to be dying to be with Jesus up in heaven, not have to worry about earthly trials.
I had just one way to trust your brothers, or love your brothers, is to trust them for their word.
Your young brethren, take a hymn and give us a little report on it, a few comments, or some things about it, a song or a hymn. Go ahead and give us a little report.